الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue in the book Al-Kabair, the major sins. The major sins. And we have been reading from the portion with regards to the major sins of the tongue, Kabair al-Lisan. And we have seen the dangers of this affair. And we have seen likewise that there are many different types of lying, many aspects of lying. And what is incumbent upon a believer is to pursue the truth and to strive to achieve the truth and to be upon the truth in his creed and his belief, first and foremost, and likewise in his statement and in his deed. And this requires for him to make effort and to strive and to verify information whenever it comes to him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. That is sufficient. A person, he would have a sufficient portion of lying, and he would obtain a sufficient portion of lying by narrating everything that he hears. And this is because the one who narrates everything that he hears, no doubt he will eventually fall into lying, and to saying something that is not true and dishonest. And this is the case, because the information that reaches a person in one day, some of that is true and some of that is false, some of that is correct and some of that is wrong, some of that is beneficial and some of that is harmful, and some of it is upright and some of it is foul, and some of it is foul. So therefore, the one who narrates everything that comes to him, then he will narrate some of the good that he has heard and likewise some of the evil that he has heard. And no doubt he will fall into lying in this manner. After this, we have seen as well, the author, he mentioned, we were reading in our previous chapter, the issue of praising, going to extremes in praising people in order to gain something from them, and lying with regards to that. This is also considered lying, and a great sin, to praise somebody for a trait that they do not have, and to mention good about somebody who that good is not known to be with them, and they're not known for that trait. And many times a person, he'll do this in order to draw near to that person, in order to gain something from that person, to get some wealth or position or some affair or some goal that he hopes to obtain by way of that person. So therefore he will praise him in falsehood. And we have seen that this is considered a false testimony and false testification. And this is a foul way to praise the people in falsehood and to lie in this manner in praising the people. Likewise, we have seen the issue of the one who goes to extremes in praising likewise. And that one will throw dirt in his face. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned. It has come in the hadith of Baghdad, that this was his case. And this is what he understood from that narration. And then he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُ مِنَ مَدَّاحِينَ فَحْذُوا فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ التراب. That if you see those who are going to extremes in praising the people or praising the people in a manner that is extreme or going overboard in this affair, then throw dirt in his face. Then throw dirt in his face. And in the issue here, likewise, it is similar to that which has preceded. The one who is always praising the people, constantly, this will lead him to go into extremes, and this will lead him to fall into lying. And he will always praise the people and praise the people, and he will mention the praises of the people. Eventually, he will mention that which is not true, and he will praise them in falsehood. The one who makes something, the one who goes to extremes with something, this will drag him, into falsehood and drag him into oppression. So the one who praises the people justly and in that which they have the right for and in moderation, then this is allowed. But as for the one who is constantly praising the people and going to extremes in that, then he will fall into the similar situation as the one who narrates everything he hears. And eventually he will be lying by taking this affair beyond the boundaries. With regards to throwing dirt in the face of those who go to extremes in praising, it has been narrated from Baghdad, as has preceded, and also from Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhuma, that both of them, they understood this narration literally. They understood this nation literally, and it's mentioned that they had done that themselves. Whenever they seen an individual, both of them in different circumstances, saw an individual praising the leader in that manner, that's considered yani not necessary or not allowed. Both of them, they threw dirt in his face in that manner. But the people of Najd, as they have spoken about this narration and mentioned different interpretations yani, or understandings of that meaning from them, this literal understanding. And Allah knows best, Arrawi adra bima rawa. Arrawi adra bima rawa. That the narrator who narrated this narration, he has more knowledge and understanding with regards to the understanding of that. And this is the case in many of the circumstances. And the one who narrated this narration, he understood it like this, to take it literally. To take it literally. But this is the origin of that affair. But some of the people of knowledge that have mentioned what is intended here, any of those people who are professional in this affair, they praise people and they're known for praising the leaders and the people of authority, and they're good at that. And they do that in order to get money. And they do that in order to get money or to get something from them. And they're known for this. And they're known for this. So these people, yani it means yani fahdu fi wajhihi at-turab, yani khayyibhu, and don't give him anything. And whenever he wants to get something from that action that he's doing, don't throw dirt on him, give him dirt. And don't give him anything. And he will take dirt instead of money or wealth or position or that which he's seeking. And he fills his hands with dirt and dust. And meaning he gets nothing. He will leave empty-handed and he will be a loser. This is one interpretation. Likewise, some of the people of knowledge have mentioned. Others, they have said what it means is that they would say, bifika at-turab. They would say, bifika at-turab. And the turab will be in your, it will be in your mouth. Bifika at-turab. In the Arab, they would say this to somebody if they heard something they don't like his statements. They would say that it has come from their statements, that they would say this. Bifika at-turab. Yani may the dirt be in your mouth. And like this, and that they would say this to the one whenever they heard them saying something that they didn't like or agree with. This is from the statements that they had in this affair, and it's been mentioned that this is what is intended. But again, what is clear from the understanding of those two noble companions is they took it literally, and they threw dirt in the man's face. And they threw dirt in the man's face. And so this is something that the people of knowledge, they have mentioned. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ مَا يَمْحَقُ الْكَذِبُ مِنَ الْبَرَكَةِ. That which the lying, it strips from blessing. The lie, that which lying, it strips from blessing. And حَكِيب ibn Hizam, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلْبَيِّيَانِ بِالْخِيَارِ مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا فِنْ صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا وَإِنْ كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْهِمَا. From the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلْبَيِّئَانِ بِالْخِيَارِ. That the buyer and the seller, they have the choice. They have a choice so long as they do not separate. So long as they do not separate. This portion of the narration indicates a ruling in al-Islam. What was that? In the chapter of al-Bay' al-Buyu' Nam. What's that called? The Mas'ala? Khiyar al-Majlis. Khiyar al-Majlis. That if two individuals, they make a contract in a purchase, one of them will buy something from the other, and they make a contract on that, and even if the transaction takes place, both of them, they have a choice to go back on that transaction so long as their bodies do not separate, so long as they're still together from the time of the transaction and from the time of the contract. It's called khiyar al-majlis. Ma lam yatafarraqa. Ma lam yatafarraqa. So long as they do not separate from each other. So if he leaves or he goes into another room or outside and the likes like this and their bodies, they separate, at that time that choice is gone. So long as they're still together, so long as they're still together, they have the choice. He could decide at any moment, actually, give him, I need my item back. I don't want to sell it. Here's your money. Or actually, here's the money, or I need my money back, here's the item, like this. They have the choice. They have the choice. It's called khiyar al-majlis. Khiyar al-majlis. This is what this is referring to here. But the point for the author in this narration, he says, فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا. That if they tell the truth and they clarify, both of them, if both of them tell the truth and they clarify, then there will be blessing. There will be blessing and goodness in their transaction. If both of them tell the truth, yani about the reality in their situation, not one of them will lie to the other. And they will both clarify. Likewise, he will clarify the situation clearly. If there is a defect in the product, it will be known. or if the person he has a limit in his wealth and his property that he's trying to purchase with, it'll be known. He will not lie, or he will not deceive, or he will not trick. Neither one of them will try to trick the other one. Whether both of them, they will be honest in their dealing. Both of them, they'll come to agreement on a price of something that is worth that value, and that is proper, and it's not too high, it's not too low. And neither one of them are ripping the other one off in any manner. Both of them are truthful. This one with his property, and this one with his wealth. And if they do this, and they approach the transaction in this manner, بُرِكَ فِي بَيْئِهِمَا, the blessing will come. And this is from the blessing and the bounty of truthfulness and honesty. And the goodness will come in this life for truthfulness. And the one who pursues truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit him with that in this life and in the hereafter. Even greater in the hereafter. But in this life, likewise, there's blessing and barakah in this affair. Specifically here, in buying and trading and doing transactions and dealing with wealth. That one, he will not lie, he will not deceive, he will not trick, he will not seek to get over. Not with his item or not with his wealth. Like this. This is something that is very important. He says, وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَئِهِمَا. And if both of them lie and they conceal any of the truth or the reality about their transaction, either one of them, then the blessing will be stripped from their transaction. Then the blessing will be stripped from their transaction. This wording has come like this in Bukhari and in Muslim. Sometimes any وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا, and other times وَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا. Any of these words have come and it's narrated like that in the authentic text. And the meaning is the same. And if they lie and conceal the reality or the truth with regards to that, any concealing a deficiency or concealing an affair, one of them, any which is incumbent to inform of, any in this transaction, then the blessing of that transaction will be stripped. Then the blessing of that transaction will be stripped. And so therefore a believer, he will not look at the worldly affair thinking that he's going to get over it, he's going to get an extra dollar, or he's going to get an extra benefit. But in this manner, in reality, if he looked at it from the true aspect, he'll realize that this is only a means to strip the blessing of that, the barakah of that. Yani the barakah of that. And this is what a believer is seeking. Maybe a person, he will only have a few dollars, but because he's truthful. Or maybe his item will be yani lesser quality, but because he's truthful. Allah Azza wa Jalla put blessing in that for him. And it will bring about goodness for him. And it will multiply for him because of his truthfulness and his honesty. And maybe somebody will have more money than him, more dollars, and a greater amount of property or wealth. But he is not truthful, and he's not honest in his dealings. Then the blessing of that will be stripped, and he will have wealth and have wealth and have wealth, and he will not benefit from that. Rather, many times that wealth will be a means to draw him to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessing will be stripped from that. So a believer, he looks for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every affair. If this is the case, barakallahu fikum. If this is the case in the transaction, when somebody is buying something with his dollar, when somebody's buying something with his dollar, he's buying some food, or he's buying a property, or he's buying some wealth, or he's making an agreement or a transaction. If this is the case, if they're truthful and they clarify, then the blessing of Allah will come. But if they deceive, and if they conceal, and if they lie, and if they trick, then the blessing will be stripped. If that's the case in selling yani, with money, then how about the contracts between a man and a woman? Then how about the contract between a man and a woman? Even more rightful that they should be truthful in that contract. That they should be truthful in that contract. Whenever they make a contract together and they make a promise together, and whenever they make conditions together, and they agree upon that. And they agree upon that. In the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then they take that in marriage. They must uphold that. They must uphold that. They're required to uphold that. This is very important. But if they deceive and if they trick, in these contracts, which one is greater? The contract and the bond between a man and his wife, or between a dollar and an item that one will purchase and buy? The contract, no doubt, of nikah is even greater. So if this is the case here, the importance of being truthful and honest, in buying and trading, even greater that one, he will be truthful and honest in his marriage contract, in his marriage contract, in his dealings with his family, both sides, the man and the woman, and the woman and the man. The man and the wife, and the wife and the husband. Both of them have to be truthful. If one of them has deception or trickery or lies or take advantage or is dishonest and the likes like this, this is a means for the contract to be void of blessing. And if there's no blessing there, then harm comes and problems come, and mashakil come, and the likes like this. If that's the case in this type of transaction, then no doubt in a marriage transaction, it's even more important to be truthful and to be honest and to deal with this in the best manner and to not conceal or deceive or to trick and the likes like this. After this, the author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, بَابُ مَنْ تَحَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَرَى شَيْئًا بَابُ مَنْ تَحَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَرَى شَيْئًا. The chapter with regards to the one who saw, or claimed he saw a dream and he did not see anything. تَحَلَّمَ يعني إِدَّى عَنَّهُ رَأَى شَيْئًا فِي مَنَامِهِ وَلَمْ يَرَاهُ. And the one who claimed that he saw something in the dream and he didn't see it. He said he saw a dream and he didn't see. He said he saw a dream and he didn't see. This is with regards to this affair. So he says, رَوَى الْبُخَارِي رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا مَرْفُوعًا. That al-Bukhari, he narrated from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ تَحَلَّمَ بِحُلْمٍ لَمْ يَرَهُ كُلِّفَ أَنْ يَعْقِدَ بَيْنَ شَعِيرَتَيْنِ وَلَنْ يَفْعَلْ وَلَنْ يَفْعَلْ. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever claims that he saw a dream and he did not see it, then he will be made to tie a knot between two grains of wheat, and he will never be able to do that. And he, as a punishment, and he will be made to do this, and he will be required to do this, but he will not have the ability to do that. And this is something that is impossible to do, something that is impossible to do, to take two small seed grains of seed, and seeds of wheat, and then tie a knot between them, to tie a knot between them. He will not be able to do that. So this person, he will be required to do that, and he will be trying to do that, and he will never be able to do that, and this is his punishment. This will be a punishment for the likes of this person to bring something he cannot do because he claimed he saw something that he did not see. Because he claimed he saw something he did not see, so it will be punished in this manner to do something he cannot do. To do something he cannot do. Many times, subhanAllah, the punishments that are mentioned in the sunnah that will occur to the people in the hereafter, they're reoccurring punishments. There are reoccurring punishments, the same punishment over and over and over. Likewise, the one with regards to lying. It's been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen a man and he was lying on his back. And there was a man above him, and he had a great iron hook, and he would come to him on his right side, and he would stick it in his mouth, and then he would rip it. He would rip his cheek into the back of his neck. And then he would stick it in his nose, and he would rip his nose into the side of his, into the back of his head, and he would stick it in his eye. He would do the same thing. And then he would go to the left side, and he would do the same thing. By the time the left side is ripped and stripped, the right side would be healed. And the man, he will start again. In this manner. This will continue. And so it's the same punishment, but it's continuing. It doesn't stop. And this is a terrifying affair. This one here, he's made to do this in this manner. He cannot do it. He would try and try and try. He cannot do it. He tried and tried and he cannot do it. And this is how he will be punished in this manner. And how it occurs. And in reality, Allah knows best. These are from the affairs of the unseen that are affirmed on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another man, he will be on top of a person with a rock, and he'll throw a rock on his head and smash his head. And the rock will roll down. And the man will go pick up the rock, and when he comes back, the head is good again. And he will smash it again, and the rock will roll down. And he will come back again, and this man is experiencing this punishment. Somebody standing over him with a rock, smashing his head. And then whenever he thinks he's finished, he's back. He's alive still, and his head is back. And the man is over him again. This is an amazing affair. This one here with the hook, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed that this person, كَذَبَ كَذْبَةً بَلَغَتْ الْآفَاقِ. That this person here, who had his mouth stripped and his nostrils stripped, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, in this manner, that he was somebody who told a lie that reached the horizons. He's somebody who told a lie. كَذَبَ كَذْبَةً بَلَغَتْ الْآفَاقِ. He told a lie that reached the horizons. And he, subhanAllah, and he, to the ends of the world. And today, no doubt, a person, he can tell a lie and he can spread it to the ends of the world. Not with his tongue, but with his thumb. Very easy, like this, lying. Lying on people, from the best of the people sometimes, lying on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them, and spreading it to the ends of the world. Some of them lying on the scholars and the people of knowledge or the students of knowledge. Others, they're lying on their spouses. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, lying on their brothers and sisters, lying on the Muslims and their lives like this, and spreading it all through the land, to the afaq. There's a great threat with regards to this. There's a great threat in the hereafter with regards to this. This is something that's very dangerous. Here with regards to dreams, and it has been narrated from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ النَّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَاشِرَاتِ إِلَّا الْمُبَاشِرَاتِ, that there did not remain anything from prophethood, yani after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his death, there will not remain anything from prophethood, yani from revelation, إِلَّا الْمُبَاشِرَاتِ, except for the glad tidings. قَالُوا وَمَا الْمُبَاشِرَاتِ, they said, what are the mubashirat? What are the glad tidings? What are the glad tidings? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الرؤية الصالحة. الرؤية الصالحة. This is narrated in Sahih Bukhari. The righteous dream, the good dream. So if a person, he sees a good dream, a dream that has good in it from the good of this life and the hereafter, he sees himself or his loved ones and they're happy and they're in joy, or they have prosperity, or they have wealth, or they're being saved from danger, or so on and so forth, and the affairs like this, then this is a good sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a good sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if a person likewise, he's seen something that's dangerous and scary, and sometimes it could be a warning from Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes it could be a warning from Allah Azza wa Jal. Other times somebody will see something that's very distressful. This is from the whispers of shaitan. This is from shaitan. Another time a person, he will see something that he was thinking about all day long. And this is called hadithu an-nafs. And these are the things that a person, he will see in his dream. If he sees something that he loves, something that is beneficial, something that is good, that makes him happy, then he would inform those who he loves. He would inform those whom he loves for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He would inform them. And this is good, alhamdulillah. And if he were to see something that is frightful and scary, that he did not like to see, then he will seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will spit lightly on his side and roll over to the other side and not say anything about that. And not inform anybody about that. And not worry about that. He will say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. He will seek refuge with Allah. And he will not inform anybody, and inshallah it will not harm him. As for hadith al-nafs, somebody will do something in the daytime or think about something in the daytime and then see it in his dream. This is called the hadith al-nafs. But the good dreams, sometimes a person, he will see it for himself, or sometimes he will see it for somebody else. So sometimes the good dream will be seen by a person, or will be seen by somebody else for him. All of this is glad tidings for him. But no doubt, rulings are not established, and acts of worship are not established, and judgments are not established by way of dreams. But the point is now that these are the mubashirat, and this is a type, what's left from prophethood, meaning from revelation. It's not a revelation, but it's a good sign. It's a good sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a good sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, to lie about this is a great lie. The one who claimed that he saw a dream he did not see, who is he lying on? Who brings the dreams? The dreams are from Allah. If it's a good dream, the dream is from Allah Azza wa Jal. The dream is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So if somebody claimed that he saw a dream he did not see, he's lying on Allah Azza wa Jal. He's lying on Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a very dangerous affair. If a believer, he's seen something, he will say that, alhamdulillah. But if he did not see anything, he will not lie about that. And so all of this is considered lying. All of these are different types of lying, and how lying will occur in all of these different manners. Praising people and going beyond the boundaries with that, or praising people too much until a person, he will eventually fall into lying because he's always praising people. And the one who is always praising people, eventually he will fall into lying because he's speaking too much and praising too much, just like the one who narrates everything he heard. Likewise, he would eventually fall into lying. So similar like this, the one who he says, come here, I'll give you something, to a child. All of this is considered lying. All of this is a type of lying. All of this has been prohibited. All of this is forbidden. All of this is forbidden. And likewise, if the one lies and delays in contracts, this is a means to strip the blessing, from the contract. Again, anyone will ponder and reflect, if that's the case in buying and trade and selling, how about in contracts with marriage and the likes like this? These are very important affairs. And a believer, he will not lie. A believer, he will not lie. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ ذِكْرِ مَرَضِ الْقَلْبِ وَمَوْتِهِ بَابُ ذِكْرِ مَرَضِ الْقَلْبِ بَابُ ذِكْرِ مَرَضِ الْقَلْبِ وَمَوْتِهِ The chapter with regards to the mention of the sickness of the heart and its death. The sickness of the heart and its death. We see the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began with what? How did he begin? Any after the introduction? Kabair al-qalb. He began mentioning the major sins of the heart. The major sins of the heart. He mentioned a number of them. Kibr, arrogance and pride. He mentioned ujub, self-amazement. He mentioned ar-riya, showing off. He mentioned hubb al-ulu, al-talib al-ulu wa-riyasa. And he's seeking a high rank and status in the earth, belittling others and looking down upon them and finding fault with them. And the likes, a number of the diseases they have been mentioned in the beginning, the major sins of the heart. After that, he followed up with the major sins of the tongue. The major sins of the tongue. And now, after mentioning a number of affairs related to the tongue, now he says, بَابُ ذِكْرِ مَرَضِ الْقَلْبِ وَمَوْتِهِ بَابُ ذِكْرِ مَرَضِ الْقَلْبِ وَمَوْتِهِ. Now the chapter with regards to the mention of the sickness of the heart and its death. And he mentions a number of affairs related to this. What do you think the relationship is between this and that which has preceded? He mentioned the major sins of the heart, and then he mentioned the major sins of the tongue, and now he's going to talk about the sickness of the heart and the death of the heart.
Ahsant.
The one who is overcome by these affairs, this is what happens. The one who is overcome, the kibr, is not dealt with, it's not checked. One who does not seek forgiveness for that and remove that and purify himself from that, riya, showing off, and the other affairs, the one who does not check himself with regards to his tongue, and the one who does not repent from these affairs and learn how to control his tongue, learn how to control his heart, learn how to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his soul first and foremost. If he's not careful with these affairs here, what will happen to his heart? His heart will become sick. His heart will become sick. These affairs, they can overcome his heart. These affairs here, ujub, kibr, riya, talab al-ulu, all of these affairs, ghiba, backbiting, namima, carrying tales, lying on the people, all of these affairs right here, they can overcome a person, and they can overcome his heart until his heart becomes sick, until his heart becomes corrupted, until his heart even dies. Waliyadhu billah. So just as the body, it can become sick. The body becomes sick. If the body becomes sick, then many times he will not be able to taste the sweetness of food. If the body becomes sick, he will not be able to taste the sweetness of food. And many times, even sometimes the most sweetest or delicious of food, if a person becomes very ill, sometimes that will not even taste good to him, and he will not prefer it, nor will he like it. And it can come to this extent. And at first, maybe he will become sick, and the food that's sweet, he will not taste its sweetness. And then maybe he will become so sick that he will not even be able to bear the food. And it's the most delicious of food. And he can reach this level in the sickness of his body. Likewise, the heart. The heart, if it's not checked, if it's not taken care of, if a person, he does not purify his heart and keep it clean and check his heart and have concern for that and care for that, it can become sick. It can become sick until it's not able to taste the sweetness of faith. Until it's not able to taste the sweetness of iman. Until it's not able to taste the sweetness of submission and servitude and the beauty of worship. And he will not find the relaxation in the prayer. And he will not find the contentment and the peace in the recitation of the Quran. Rather, it will become heavy for him. And eventually he will not like that. The heart can become sick, and it will even die, and it will even reject that. So this is the case with the body, and likewise with the heart. Which one is more dangerous? The affair of the heart. But just as a person, if his body is sick and he has ailments in his body, he will go to to the specialist. He will go to the doctor. He will go to the mustashfa. And he will go to the doctor, to the hospital, if he's needed to. If it gets very bad, he will go to the clinic or to the hospital. And he will go to the specialist in that affair, in that field. And he to seek a cure, and to seek treatment. Because the doctor, he knows how to treat the body, and the ailments of the body. But likewise, with regards to the heart, there are doctors. There are people who specialize in the diseases of the heart, and they specialize in curing them likewise. And they're the people of knowledge. And it has been mentioned by Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of al-wasitiyya. He mentioned this affair here, talking about the diseases of the body and the diseases of the heart, and how there are mustashfayat that one will go to if his body becomes ill. But he mentioned likewise there are mustashfayat, there are hospitals that he will go to if his heart becomes ill, if his heart becomes sick. And he mentioned that these mustashfayat, he mentioned three of them specifically, but there are a number of them. But he mentioned three of them specifically. Three hospitals by name. The first one, he mentioned a book called Madarij al-Sarikin. Madarij al-Sarikin. It's a book by Ibn Qayyim. Actually, all three books are by Ibn Qayyim. He's calling these books mustashfayat, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's calling these books hospitals, that the one who his heart becomes corrupted and sick, and he finds the illness in his heart, affecting his heart, he will go and visit these hospitals from time to time to seek a treatment for his heart. From them, this book called Madarij al-Sarikin. And it's all about explaining Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. It's four volumes. Each volume is about this fat. It's about this thick, and about 2 inches thick. And it's four volumes. And it's a very, very beneficial book. And many of the benefits that we had taken previously in the issues of the heart and likewise of the tongue, many of those benefits were from that book. And they were and that book was mentioned at that time. The second one he mentioned, the second hospital that he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, a book called, he said, Al-Kutayyib al-Saghir, a small book, but it's very beneficial. It's called Al-Fawaid. He said every student of knowledge has this book in his library and is reading it. It's a very small book, and it's one volume. It's one volume about this thick. And it's full of nothing but benefits, random benefits here, and that he had written. Also by Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that it's very small, but it's something that's very great in benefit, and very beneficial to read, specifically with regards to curing the heart. And he mentioned another one, and it's another book also by Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's called Hadi al-Arwah ila Bilal al-Afrah, yani the one who's guiding the souls, to the guide of the souls to the lands of rejoicement and happiness. And it's another work by Ibn Qayyim. It's two volumes, thick volumes. And it's all about these affairs. And this is what Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. And no doubt, the ulama, they are the doctors. And they are the ones who have, by their permission of Allah, the knowledge to cure the heart, the diseases of the heart, because they are the inheritors of the prophets. They're the inheritors of the prophets, warathatul anbiya. And this is what the prophets they came with. Alayhimu salatu wassalam, the rectification of the deen. And the deen, it begins in the heart. And the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is established in the heart, first and foremost. And from there, in the rest of the body and in the life of the individual. And according to how well it's established in the heart, will determine how well it's established in the body parts. Who knows a proof for that? Ahsan, this is what I'm looking for. Inna fil jasadi mudghatan. Idha salahat salaha al jasadu kulluhu. Idha fasadat fasada al jasadu kulluhu. Ala wahi al qalb. That verily in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it is correct, if it is upright, the whole body will be upright. And if it is corrupted, the whole body will be corrupted. Verily it is the heart. So we have studied, the author, he mentioned this narration likewise, and we have seen it more than one time. And the reality of that, according to the amount of rectification in the heart, would determine precisely the amount of rectification on the body parts. Precisely. How much rectification one has inside his heart would declare and determine how well he complies with the commandments of Allah and avoids the prohibitions of Allah, how well he fulfills the obligations of Allah, any with a heart that is alive or with a heart that is heedless, any a mind and the like, all of this according to that which is in the heart. And then the deficiency will come as well likewise. The deficiency will come as well likewise according to that which is in the heart. The body parts and the actions will become deficient according precisely to the deficiency of the heart. So therefore the beginning with the heart is from the most important affairs, rather it's the foundation to have concern with this affair. Because the heart is, as the people of knowledge have mentioned, it's been narrated from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Malikul A'dha. It is the king of the body parts. It is the king of the body parts. The heart is the king of the body parts. And the body parts, they are junuduhu. They are his forces. They are his forces. So if the heart is upright, it will command that which is upright. And the forces, they will go get that which the heart commands, regardless of what it is. So if the heart commands goodness, then the body parts, they will go and get that. They will go and pursue that, and they will achieve that, and they will bring that. And if the heart is corrupted, then the body parts, they will work corruption according to the command of the heart and the desire of the heart. And the issue here is even more severe, because sometimes maybe some of the forces, they will disobey the leader or the king. But with regards to the body parts, they do not disobey the heart. With regards to the body parts, they do not disobey the heart. They do exactly what the heart desires and lusts and hopes for and wants. So this affair is very, very important. Another book, yani from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, is about the affair of the heart and the sickness of the heart specifically. It's called Ighathatu al-Lahfan. Ighathatu al-Lahfan fi masa'idi al-shaytan. Ighatha, yani to bring relief and to remove from stress and distress. Yani al-Lahfan, the one who is yani in distress. Yani to save a person who is in distress from the traps and the snares of the devil. From the traps and the snares of the devil. We read some benefits from this work this evening before beginning reading what the author he mentioned. This is to clarify the issue of the heart. The author is saying the mention of the sickness of the heart and the death of the heart. So here there's the two descriptions of the heart, correct? The sickness of the heart and the death of the heart. So therefore we see that there is a heart that's al-qalb al-mariyd, and there's al-qalb al-mayyit. So this must mean there's one more qalb. What is it? Al-hay al-salim. Al-hay al-salim. If there's one that is dead, then there must be one that's alive. So there's a heart that's dead and there's a heart that's alive. And there's a heart that's sick and there's a heart that's sound and healthy. So the one that is alive is the one that is healthy and sound. The one that is alive is the one that is healthy and sound. From here, in the very first chapter, Ibn Qayyim, he says, Al-Bab Al-Awwal, the first chapter. فِي انْقِسَامِ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَى الصَّحِيحٍ وَالسَّقِيمٍ وَمَيِّتٍ. The first chapter here, he says, with regards to the fact that the heart is divided into three types. The sound heart, and the sick heart, and the dead heart. The sound heart, and the sick heart, and the dead heart. The hearts are like this. There's not a fourth one. The heart will either be sound and good, alive, or it will be sick and corrupted, or it will be dead and finished. Or it will be dead and finished. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, لَمَّا كَانَ الْقَلْبُ يُوصَفُ بِالْحَيَاةِ وَضِدِّهَا إِنْقَسَمَ بِحَسِبِ ذَلِكَ إِلَى هَذِي الْأَحْوَالِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. So since the heart is described with life, and contrary to that, then the heart is now considered to be in three different circumstances or states. فَالْقَلْبُ الصَّحِيحُ هُوَ الْقَلْبُ السَّلِيمُ أَلَّذِي لَا يَنْجُو يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى Allah bihi. Illa man ata Allah bihi. He said, as for the sound heart, as for the healthy heart, then as for the correct heart, then it is al-qalb al-salim, the sound and good heart. And this is the heart that no person will be safe on the day of resurrection except for the one who comes to Allah with it. And except for the one who meets Allah with his heart. And this is the only heart that will benefit on the day of resurrection. He says, كما قال تعالى يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day that no wealth or children. No wealth or children will benefit whatsoever a person on that day, except for the one who comes with a sound heart. Except for the one who comes with a sound heart. In order to avoid the sick heart, or to cure it, or to bring back to life the dead heart, and to stay away from that likewise, and to avoid any falling into these affairs, or to rectify and cure them, one, he has to know the opposite of that. And what is the sound heart? What is the sound heart? And this has preceded in Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned previously, we have read, with regards to every disease, from the diseases of the heart, and every major sin from the sins of the heart, there is that which is contrary to that, from the obligations of servitude. From the obligations of servitude, and the servitude of the heart. And the opposite of riyah is to have ikhlas. Is to have ikhlas. And the likes like this, and the opposite of being arrogant is to be humble, is tawadu, so and have to have khudu, and to have ikhbat. So any for each one of these affairs, and it is an opposite, So to stay free from the sick heart or the dead heart, or to cure either one of these affairs, one has to have the reality or know the reality of the sound heart. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, and I summarize, that the people of knowledge, they differed with regards to the definition of this affair. But he says, what amru jami'u lidhalika, that which is the concise and all collective understanding of that which has been mentioned, annahu alladhi qad salima min kulli shahwatin tukhalifu amra Allahi wa nahyahu. And this is a very beautiful understanding, a very beautiful and beneficial understanding, that the sound heart, it is the heart that is sound from every desire, from every shahwa, from every desire, from every lust, that is in opposition to the command of Allah and His prohibition. Every desire, that the heart is safe from every desire that is contrary to the command of Allah and to His prohibition. وَمِن كُلِّ شُبْهَةٍ تُعَارِضُ خَبْرَهُ. And also it is safe from every doubt or misunderstanding that is contrary to that which He has informed of. And that which He has informed of in His book or by way of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَسَلِمَ مِنْ عُبُودِيَّةِ مَا سِوَاهُ. So it is safe from servitude and worship to everything, from everything besides Allah. It is safe from that. وَسَلِمَ مِنْ تَحْكِيمِ غَيْرِ رَسُولِهِ. And the heart likewise is safe from taking as a judge and a rule everyone besides His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in reality, the sound heart is the heart that has actualized and implemented and fulfilled the rights of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. In reality, in truth. This is the sound heart. He said, so when this occurs, what happens? فَسَلِمَ مِن مَحَبَّةِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ مَعَهُ. So this heart is safe from loving anyone along with Allah. وَمِنْ خَوْفِهِ وَرَجَائِهِ وَتَوَكُّلِ عَلَيْهِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ إِلَيْهِ وَالذُّلِّ لَهُ وَإِثَارِ مَرْضَاتِهِ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ. He said that this heart is safe from loving other than Allah along with Allah, and fearing anyone besides Allah, and hoping in anyone besides Allah, and trusting and relying upon anyone besides Allah, and repenting with sincere devotion to anyone other than Allah. The heart is safe from this, from humbling oneself to anyone other than Allah, in humility and servitude, and showing preference to the pleasure of anyone other than Him in every situation and every circumstance. And he preferring the pleasure of Allah in every situation and every circumstance. Trusting and relying on Allah alone in entirety, nothing from the creation whatsoever. This is the sound heart. Hoping in Allah and fearing His punishment alone and no one else. And fearing the blame of Allah, not the blame of the people, and no one else. This is the heart that is sound. وَتَبَعُدُ مِنْ سَخَطِهِ بِكُلِ طَرِيقٍ. And to stay, and it stays away from everything that leads to His anger, and that which is detestable to Allah, that which He does not like, from every path. وَهَذَا هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ التي لا تصلح إلا لله وحده. And this is the reality of servitude. This is the reality of worship. He says, فالقلب السليم هو الذي سليم من أن يكون لغير الله فيه شريك. The heart that is sound is the one that is safe from having any other partner in it whatsoever with Allah. That there's no partner that the heart is attached to besides Allah, with Allah. It's attached to Allah alone in every aspect. Hoping and loving and servitude and worship and devotion and trust and reliance. All of that. And he's seeking the pleasure of Allah alone. This is the one that is safe. And he laysa fihi shariqun biwajhin ma. From not any aspect. بَلْ قَدْ خَالَصَتْ عُبُودِيَّتُهُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى إرادة ومحبة وتوكلا وإنابة وإخباتا وخشية ورجاء وخلص عمله لله وخلص عمله لله. So therefore this heart is purified. The ubudiyya and servitude of this heart is pure. It's pure. This is what is ikhlas. This is what is ikhlas. Purity of intention. It's pure in his heart. His desire, his irada is for Allah alone. His love is for Allah alone. His trust is upon Allah alone. His devotion and repentance is to Allah alone. And his humbleness and servitude is to Allah alone. He fears Allah alone and he hopes in Allah alone. His actions are purity for Allah alone. He says, فَإِنَّ حَبَّ أَحَبَّ فِي اللَّهِ. If he loves, he loves for the sake of Allah. فَإِنْ أَبْغَضَ أَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ. And if he detests or dislikes somebody, he does that for the sake of Allah. When أَعْطَى أَعْطَى لِلَّهِ. When مَنَعَ مَنَعَ لِلَّهِ. If he gives, he gives for the sake of Allah. If he prohibits the people, he does that for the sake of Allah. فَيَعْقِدُ قَلْبَهُ. He says, وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ هَذَا. وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ هَذَا حَتَّى يَسْلَمَ مِنَ الْإِنْقِيَادِ وَالتَّحْكِيمِ لِكُلِّ مَعَدَى رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And he would not truly be safe, not with this alone, meaning this will not suffice him, yani in his heart, for the sake of Allah alone, until likewise the heart is safe also from complying and taking as a judge and a rule other than the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And he's sincerely and truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, and from the perfection of that and the completion of that and from the soundness of the heart is that one, he will not judge by anyone other than the judge of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will not comply to the command of anyone other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he complies to another's command, it's because his command is in accordance with the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he follows the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not the people. This is the sound heart. He says, فَيَعْقِدُ قَلْبَهُ مَعَهُ أَقْدًا مُحْكَمًا عَلَى الْإِتِمَامِ وَالْإِقْتِدَاءِ بِهِ وَحْدَهُ دُونَ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ. That his heart will have a strong bond. The heart will have a strong bond. يعني muhkaman, tight bond that he will only follow. And he will only take as a role model the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone and nobody else. فِي الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ. With regards to his statements and with regards to his actions. With regards to his statements of worship, like adhkar, he's not going to come with the adhkar that are mubtada'a, that are innovated, and the supplications that are innovated. Rather, he's going to restrict his adhkar, his aqwal, his statements, to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, this is an example of this issue. Likewise, what a'mal, his actions, his prayer, first and foremost, his deeds, they will be restricted strictly to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the case of the sound heart. May Allah rectify our hearts. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.